Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Let this one tell that one a tale. The story of great heroes marooned without a sea, stranded in a place of nightmares called Barovia. The antagonist, a creature known as Strahd von Zarovich. As all great epics, someone must die. Either Strahd or our heroes.
Sorry, Danica, this is Jeska. He has recently... His father passed and...
Jeska. Why is he here and not at the orphanage?
Well, there is, unfortunately, the orphanage right now is not very safe. So, Jeske is here. Is it possible?
We will look after the boy.
Where's,
Bring a dog, yeah. Bring a kid.
Where's the dog?
The dog is out the back with one of the boys. Danica leans in, calls over her other son, who comes in. And leads Jeske out the back.
Yes, good. Jeske, this is... catch the boy's name? Danny's names?
Danny's
kid's name? Oh, yeah. Well, you would hear. She leans into the back and calls out, Brom, I need your hand with something. Take this boy here. Jeske is his name. She introduces the two boys. Take him out the back to Bray and the dog.
Right. I might, kneel down if I don't know how Jeske's going. And it's like... So go ahead and have a play with two wonderful people. And there's a lovely beagle there. He look at Brom. Have you found a suitable name for the beagle yet?
Were we meant to name the dog?
If you want,
all right, we will name the dog.
Well, how about this? Why don't the two of you and your brother? Why don't you come to a conclusion of what we should call that little puppy?
Hmm? Brom nods and leads Jeske away.
Do they go through the kitchen?
Yeah.
Maybe like with a carrot in my mouth, just watching them like, what?
Danica gestures and says, we should have this conversation in the back.
Right, yes. Thank you so much. We walk towards...
Everyone is reunited?
The back. The kitchen.
A boy?
This is a long story. Well, yeah. I thought it might have been related to the tongues, but I don't think it is. It is something else. Actually, someone you might know.
Oh, yeah. Like
Claudia, a tiefling.
Oh. What's my relationship with Claudia?
A bit over a year ago, you came to Valakai with Keening, and the two of you split up trying to gather support around this place. You had heard that the leader of the orphanage had some magical aptitude, and so you went over to speak to her. You gave a very impassioned speech about your cause, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
It might have been your own words, but it might have been...
Keening's words.
Yeah, Keening's words through
repeated.
Your mouth.
Yeah.
He was a very... Keening was, and continues to be a quite charismatic man.
Yeah.
So it is entirely possible that you had been... Either you maybe were a true believer, or you just kind of got swept up with it.
Yeah.
But either way, you gave a very impassioned speech to which you caused her to crack a little and cry a little. She... believed in the cause and was one of the most fervent, adopters of it. And she was given a cadre of a few people to on a specific mission to try and get down into the dungeons to free some people from jail cells down there. You are aware that she is the only survivor.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll be as flippant. It might be a simple, the orphanage. Yes, there is something not... well, with the orphanage, we spoke to Claudia, I believe. You know of her. She's another survivor.
How is she?
Well, I think she brought something back.
Okay.
With her. It is causing the orphanage itself. It seems to be cursed. It's like a green mist. It's causing anger. I thought it might have been related to the cultists. Perhaps it was like the children of the cults were there.
So it's focusing on the children?
Yes, focusing on the children and also anger whenever there is and definitely not away from it. It's not a demon or devil.
I flipped her a manual to monster.
But it is a look like to
Sounds
me?
Sounds like hags.
I
pass it over, possibly Hag Midnight.
Hag Midnight.
Then I go back to eating my carrot and looking at what I'm maybe I've got some other pages out where I'm looking over. Maybe I have removed from the book, because maybe it's just loose in my book, the watery mass page, and also maybe some of my own notes about the Burgermaster that I'm going over. Well, you look over hags.
I pass it to Yender.
Hags.
Yender briefly peruses the book. She, at some point, stretches it out as far as her arm will allow and kind of starts squinting at it. She brings it back up closer to her face. Holding it in that position, she reads, "So thy musteth, beeth, preparedeth, toeth, followeth, iteth, intoeth, thy etherealeth as well."
Yeah, Emmanuel doesn't really understand what the eth does, I think.
In a sentence. Did you smell any burning hair or any rotting flesh? The only thing that I can think of that is maybe, that we were very brief, but the nursery rhyme is a twisted vision.
No, there's a...
What's the nursery rhyme, I ask?
Oh, it's the robin.
Okay, I know the robin.
It was, but not the one where like, who killed me? It was I, said the fly with my many eyes.
I know the gist. And it was sort of darker.
That is the dark version.
Oh, right. Yes, well, I barely know it anyway.
So. Yender shakes her head and says, "No, I convinced the headmistress to give me a little walk around before you arrived. I did smell burning hair. It smelled like it was coming from upstairs. I asked and the headmistress said that had been there for a little while at least, but not the... It's a newer thing."
And the kids are acting like little shits?
Yeah.
Textbook hags.
Right, well, there's hags in the orphanage.
Okay, well, it's another thing to add to the pile.
Hags in the orphanage!
Right, well... I want to just kind of like sit down and just, how was your day, Gergash and Shorts? I suppose, Pip, you filled everybody in about the town in the...
Yeah.
Chaucer says, "We had a wonderful day, until recently. Not that obviously, I mean..."
Yes, it's fine. Yes. You don't have to...
No,
ideas,
I mean, this
right.
is a shit show, it's Chaucer. Like, you can say it.
We are... So why did the town guard want us? Well, of course...
I explained what I heard.
Danica explains it, actually. She's probably gotten a little bit more information since. You are... both of you wanted for the murders of a... They do not even name them. A man out the back of this very tavern. Yeah. But then also the tanner. You are wanted for her murder.
And the person they probably found.
An unidentified person.
In the missing a tongue, I imagine. Yeah.
And yes, this interesting that you say tongues, because they're pinning all of that on you as well.
Ah, fantastic.
That's a lot of... Okay,
why did she put the rose in the mouth?
Who knows, Hector? The point is, right now we need to prioritize.
Yender puts up a hand and shakes her head. It's a part of the... I don't want to talk too much about it. I don't even want to mention its name, but it's part of the ritual.
Hold on. Who are you? Who is this?
This is Yender. She is a priest.
Priest, yeah. A member of the clergy. Yeah, I don't like titles. Mm. She says.
We know the same gods. She has been.
What a great
Mutual
way to
friend.
Put it.
Yeah.
She has been working, or she has been passing her time when she got here in the town of Barovia.
Yender Brightmoon. She says, "Right. You're the."
Yeah. Another Taraka dick.
Actually, yes.
Another one.
What?
When you haven't yet met Madame Eva, have you? Yes.
Vistani, right?
Yes, that is the one. So
I've heard some of the other Vistani talk about her. Seer of some sort.
Yes. So everyone on this table. Yes, she's told me I would meet, and you were one of them.
Oh, all right. That's interesting.
Yeah, sorry, I. Been a bit preoccupied.
We got a joint destiny, twinned fates, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
Back in Candor, down in Fairburn Point, there is a... honestly, to me right now, Strahd is a bit of a roadblock. There is an inky black, this...
Yender laughs at the idea like a dark laugh at the idea of Strahd being a roadblock on your way to something else.
There is a malevolent force down there. I mean, you must have heard of Sir Grace.
Grace's companions? I know of them, yeah.
Grace is no longer, I think, in control of, well, Grace.
That is a disquieting thought, she says.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this the first time you're hearing about it?
No. I know. I just didn't listen the first time. And I haven't listened this time.
Okay. You're absentmindedly somewhere else right now.
I'm still looking through Emmanuel de Monster. Maybe, in fact, I interrupt. I'm like, can you enter the Hags fight theorially? Can you enter the... Is that going to be a problem?
No, I can't enter the ethereal, but I got all my magic.
They hate divine magic as well, or magic divinely sourced, not necessarily.
I got some divine source magic, yeah. Pretty powerful. I don't like to brag, but I'm gifted, she says.
That's curious. It's just not... It's coming out of the woodwork, I suppose. You live here for 4 years nearly, you don't see any person connected divinely to whatever's up there, and then all of a sudden... Two of them in one go.
She says, "You, well, how much attention are you currently paying? I know it waxes and wanes, but how much attention are you currently paying?"
Yeah, I'm paying attention. I'm involved in the conversation now.
All right. When Yenda goes, you can see there's significance to that. Like, she knows that she's unusual and she's not saying something.
What god? Are you the same gods? Yes.
Same. Yeah. Specifically, yes. Penia.
I suppose when Strahd cored this little section out of the cosmology, maybe a bit of Penia was trapped in whatever divine prison cell exists above this material plane.
Yeah, she says. She probably says it like that as well.
Or some other secret reason, I say.
Yeah, she says.
Whatever the case.
You don't speak to Penia, or she doesn't directly?
She's quite clearly a little bit more... torn lying to you than she was lying to Pip. She looks around.
Do you want me to go, I say?
It's just a little public here is all. I'll tell you, I promise. Let me wait until...
It's
delicate, she says.
Right.
All that's important now is that it helps us fighting the hag, to be honest.
You can see while you're having this conversation, she's taken her backpack, which is just a chest, like a wooden chest that has straps attached to it, and she wears it like a backpack. She's taken that around to her front in kind of a protective way. You can see she's not consciously doing it, but she is quite clearly being protective of the chest.
God okay. in a box.
You've seen weirder.
It's like so under my breath to almost be inaudible, you know?
Imagine like trying to remember the Emmanuel de Monster entry on God in a box. And then you're like, oh wait, no, that's a mimic. Emmanuel de
Monster.
That's
right. God in a box, that's a mimic.
That's great. I should absolutely do that. Yeah. God in a box is a mimic.
Imagine a monster basic edition. With
Dungeons edition.
Dungeons edition. Oh,
if thine has seen your deity, deities, deva, or other celestial in box.
It will giveth thy box tooths.
Emmanuel de Monster, what's in that damn dungeon edition?
So, if the Burgomaster is eliminated, one way or the other, then Lady Watcher gains control, and hopefully we are no longer under the...
It is the two people vying for control of Valakai are Lady Watcher and the Burgomaster.
That's kind
right?
of always been the case, even when I was here. Yeah.
Danica shakes her head. Is there another option rather than letting Lady Watcher take control? Can you not just prevent this demon thing from happening? The Burgomaster is not perfect, but he is preferable to Strahd directly running this town.
Well, the thing is, with this Burgomaster, he won't stop. He would if the thing that is they are worshipping is that is stuck here, they are not going to stop trying to free it. So unless we can
and
cut
better
off his...
that it is here in Valakai. Sure, well, she leaves.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
what is it doing in Valakai? Is it even...
Yender speaks, and she says, I think it might be sleeping. Look, not that that is necessarily much of a defense, because even when sleeping, it corrupts around it. So, look, there's no good answer to this, because wherever, we can't kill it. We're not going to kill it.
No.
And there's nowhere to put it that's safe.
What about the Amber Temple? Do you know anything about that?
Yender shrugs. What's the Amber Temple?
To be honest, I don't really even know either. It's apparently it was where there was some connection there where we're meant to be heading there next.
Well, I'm coming to the Amber Temple then.
There was actually, wait. I grabbed the ceremonial knife that has the infernal written in.
Yeah.
And yeah, this was the knife that they were using to cut off the tongues. Is this important? Do they need this? Because if they need this, good.
It's a good omen that you got that. Look, that, having that is actually going to delay them more than trying to scrub off that sigil.
Yeah, and I didn't get much of it scrubbed off before the.
Well, that's fine. They can. It's actually really easy to redo. The scrubbing down the sigil. If you burnt down the building, that would have been one thing.
Lady
scrubbing
Watcher
off
told
the
us to do.
Mm. Scrubbing off the sigil, that's going to slow them down by maybe a day. But this knife, that's going to take them at least a week or two to get a new one.
Well, that's good. Well,
that buys us more time than anything else, to be honest.
That is good to hear. Yeah. I'm going to be a sense of calm, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, is the inscription on it mentions something to do with amber. So I thought maybe it might be related to the Amber Temple. That's all I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well,
possibly.
Perhaps then we should go on a little excursion to this Amber Temple of sorts.
I sort of still need to deal with the watery mess. I kind of owe that to the town.
It would also be a prudent, I suppose, to solve this little issue with St. Andrew's bones as well.
And the, yes, and the, well, I guess the hags is that.
All right. So, and then also maybe some sort of disruption to this little cult would give us a bit more time as well, says Yenda.
Yes, it's, I guess, a hierarchy of problems to yourself.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. We need to prioritize. It seems like we have the time to push the cult down lower on our list of tasks to complete. Okay. That's nice. That's good to hear.
So, so the cult is a week, plus however long it will take them to finish the ritual.
What's this about bones?
The church here. Yeah. You would know this part, but Yender repeats it anyway. The church, St. Andrew here, it was consecrated ground.
Right, yeah.
The consecrated ground.
Not anymore.
So they had the bones of St. Andrew himself buried on premises, but they've been stolen.
The boy that we grabbed, so his father was an apprentice working at the church, and so he died.
Well, hags hate God, Well, that might have something to do with that.
Well, it seems that another young boy by the name of Miliov.
Okay.
He was maybe was told by Jeska or convinced. Either way, Miliov has the bones.
Right.
Do hags possess? Do they possess?
Well, there's a lot of different kind of hags, and I wouldn't call it possession, but midnight hags love to corrupt.
Do they need like an inn, I guess, for corruption, or is it they?
They kind of just need to be around.
Right. Well, I suppose that they've corrupted this.
Miliov happens at night, typically, while somebody's sleeping. The midnight hag sort of creeps in, hangs over the top of them, gets in their dreams, corrupts them, that kind of thing.
Well, I guess we could do that one tonight if we put that one.
Well, it would probably be good for the people of Velikai to have somewhere safe. Putting the bones back is probably worthwhile.
So we have that. The watery grave,
Watery mass?
The watery mass, sorry. The watery mass, there's half the town guard that aren't in control or wanting to summon him. They're being controlled by the watery mass.
Yeah. Cribbit starts peering over your shoulder, Pip, looking at Emmanuel, and you can see he's got kind of like looking over your shoulder, and then with his free hands, he's scribbling down in his little
Maybe
book.
I like kind of lean out of the way so he can look at it properly.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Is it best to perhaps let that one sit until we deal with the cult?
It depends how many people you want the watery mess to eat.
Not many.
Yeah, if so not, it's none. Sort of pretty pressing too.
But if we...
Well...
So the problem there is if we say get rid of the watery mess, and the people that have been enslozzled by it will then be there to protect, if we do say to take off, take the burgomaster off the app.
Yeah. Yes, that is true. Well, the watery mess is controlling at least some of the burgomaster's men and a lot of the devil worshippers. So anybody who's a watery mess initiate is not worshipping the devil currently.
The people that they are taking...
I'll do some cult math here.
The people that they are taking, because the watery mass, that seems to be a... Lady Watcher said that there was a machination of Strahd.
Yes, I mean, probably.
Are the people that are being taken, are they the ones who are in the cult? Are they the ones that are trying to summon him? Because if they're the ones that are trying to summon, is that who is being taken?
We don't know. I mean, it could be. They're still getting eaten, some of them.
Cribbit pipes up and says, Magda was near, but not part of church. He's like flipping through his book and you see he's, once again, it looks like a child scribbling rather than actually actual notes, but you can see he points.
Clearly he knows what it means.
He spins around. Yeah, he spins it around and points to a specific part in the book as if he expects you to understand.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course. She was his wife.
This one would say that while this church is convenient, it is not only church.
Unfortunately, one problem does not fix the other problem.
Would be nice.
It would have been nice.
But yeah, no, I don't think so. Well, look, okay, I mean, so we're not going to the watery mess tonight, so... Yeah.
So we have the watery mess, the cult, the burgomaster, and then the hags. Anything else I'm missing?
I guess being wanted. For you, I gestured at, like, most of the body... And then I point up to the castle. Not obviously, we can't see it, but in the direction. And there's for you, a big one. But yeah, those are the ones that we're dealing with at the moment.
But yes, well, I think and I point back, like point to where you pointed, that's not going to be really addressed until we deal with or head to the Amber Temple.
Well, all right, then here's what I would say. If we're going to do it, let's do it tonight. All I need is some candles for the midnight hag, and we can take care of that. Once that's done, tomorrow we make the watery mess our problem. Deal with that, then we've got at least the better part of 2 weeks to go to the Amber Temple.
Well, we've only got. What I was thinking as well is if you needed more time, I don't know how long it's going to take to get to the Amber Temple. You think at the very least a week, probably longer than a week. So you actually, 2 weeks is probably not enough time. Mm. But Yenda pipes up saying, I don't know how long it's going to take to get to the Amber Temple, but what we could do is we could split up into two groups. One group stays here in Valakai and disrupts the cult, makes sure that it takes them a bit longer than a couple of weeks to get a knife, and the other group goes to the Amber Temple, sees what's what.
I think that is a good idea. Cribbit is probably the best for that, as he is so...
Cribbit gives a big bow.
you turned invisible, did you not?
This one can turn invisible. It would be uncomfortable for this one to enter the story. But as I have already entered the story, I do not think it will be that sort of... I want to call this new style of book documentary.
I knew that was
and
cool.
I have decided
it's
that
sort of
a good
Herzog of a good docu-
I have decided that a good documentarian should not get involved, but perhaps for this time I will, since I know the rules, break the rules.
Thank you very much, Cribbit, and whatever we do in the Amber Temple, whoever goes, we will take meticulous notes.
Thank you, he says.
Yes, well, let's do that then. Let's do that. Let's do the let's.
All right, I'm going to need 12 candles, I think. Let me have a look.
Well, I am wanted, you are wanted, Cribbit is wanted, but the other two and Chaunsa. I guess Chaunsa, what do you want?
I would like to not die. Let me stay here. The two children here, they are busy most of the day, but whenever I get a chance to speak to them, it is pleasing. Children have a boundless curiosity that I am quickly discovering I enjoy.
I think I can fix two, maybe three problems at once. If you want to impart your knowledge onto the youth, I think I know exactly a place where you might be very beneficial if Claudia will have you.
Well, this is the most hopeful thing you've said to me.
Yenda Agogash, what supplies you need, Pip?
I'm going to need, let's call it, 10 red and black candles, but an uneven number of both. Some chalk would be good as well, and I point to both Yenda and Hector. Like I said, hags hate God, so the two of you are kind of the perfect people for this. Yeah, Agogash, look, hags, especially midnight hags, they're pretty ethereal. They tend to balk from any kind of physical attack, and they just beckon to the ethereal plane. So it might not be necessary on this one. Cribbit, you're playing.
This one is not good as a fighter, but I can help fighters.
Okay, well then, yeah, Cribbit,
my
word, well
let
too.
My words be instructional to you.
I give him a thumbs up.
Agogash shifts uncomfortably and says, if it is the ethereal that they transition between, yeah, I may be able to help then.
Yeah, well, great. Then we'll all go.
You can see the ethereal, or?
I can become ethereal.
Perfect. Yeah.
My time transitioning from plane to plane has imparted upon me several powers. You may not have noticed this, but I can teleport short distances.
Yes, I have noticed that, Agogash. Yes.
No, I picked up on that.
Oh, I thought it would be too quick for you. Anyway, I am also able to step into the ethereal briefly, but nonetheless, I can. That right. might be helpful, I suppose.
Yes. After scanning through Emmanuel, I place it back down, and we'll have about a minute.
A minute to what? What's the game plan?
We draw a circle around, well, see, best place to capture a midnight hag is while it's feeding. Draw a circle around the person who is sleeping, midnight hag, trapped in the circle. 10 candles, uneven number, red, white, snuffed out.
What do you mean by 10 candles and an uneven number, red,
well,
white?
Well, an uneven number of red and white candles, making up 10.
So, all right, thank you. So 5 and 5, but not 6 and 4.
Yes, yes. And then, yes, as each candle is snuffed out, slowly it counts down how long we have to take care of the midnight hag.
And you take care of it how?
Well, divine magic, mostly, and definitely not cold or poison.
All right, so holy damage?
Holy damage, but, and this is probably going to be important, clerics and paladins beware, radiant damages are the only exception to this, and the midnight hag will find corruptions of this energy to supercharge them. So maketh sure that thy spells are non-radiant, but holy nonetheless. But they,
Yendra looks down at her hands.
I just look at Yendra. What does he mean by holy but not radiant?
Well, I mean, like, I can create fire.
I mean, yes, but he said holy damage.
Well, you are holy people.
Is that all it needs? I can make holy water.
That could help.
I don't know if that'll help, but
okay, maybe not.
Just shrug.
Like, rather than holy fire, I can make like regular fire with holy magic. Maybe that's what it means.
I point to Yendo.
I guess. What about healing? If I could heal it,
probably not. It would say.
And then what? At what time shall we?
Midnight.
Midnight. So we need to get to the.
It's a midnight hag.
Yenda, why don't you go to the orphanage and tell Claudia that we're coming back at midnight to deal with everything that's coming in?
She nods. She gets up and walks away.
Agogash
stands up.
Candles.
Agogash nods. I will get candles. He walks away.
And I'm going to see what I can do.
I'm going to see if I can use my alchemy kit to make something with God in it.
If you need anything, a Esmir here
we'll
or something, let me know.
Cribbit starts strumming on his lute, playing a little noise, and then Danica sticks her head in and says, Cribbit, would it be okay if you did not alert everyone to your presence?
Danny's got a point there, Cribbit. Hum to yourself if you need to make music.
Danny, a question. Is there a third option that is the Burgomaster or Watcher?
No one within the town has enough power to take control.
If they were both taken off the map, what happens?
Chaos. No one would be able to control the streets.
That is not good.
No one would have the money to pay town guard.
Do you know anything about how big the cult is that the Burgomaster is running?
It is about as big as the church within town. They are the two major influences. Is there anything I can do to help?
Perhaps. What can she do to help? What in racking my brain? I'm like, okay, so we have the ceremonial knife. We know that that is going to slow them down. Getting another one? Do they have to make another one?
Yeah, they've got to make another one.
They've got to make another one. Do we know? Maybe
they need a specific type of metal. It has to be cold iron specifically, so they'll need a blacksmith.
Mm-hmm.
They'll need a blacksmithy.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, they will need to perform the rite underneath a blood moon.
Mm-hmm.
A blood moon in Barovia is a lot more common than it is outside of Barovia. Right.
What's a mod, probably, yeah.
It okay. Probably more often than that.
Maybe, before Yenda leaves to talk to Claudia, just to kind of ask, all right,
what is the rituals that they need to do? You don't have to go into details, but what are the things that they need?
Well, so they'll need cold iron. So it'll be iron forged without the heat of a blacksmithy, meaning that they'll need the blacksmithy tools, but they won't need the actual forge.
Right, yes.
In addition to that, they'll need to perform a rite under a blood moon, which I have noticed is a lot more common in Barovia than it is outside of Barovia.
So it's not every...
Once
a week? Is this what they
maybe have? Maybe about once a week, yeah.
Great news. All right, that's not even a problem. That's just a thing.
Can't change the moon.
Yep. All right, what else?
They'll need a sacrifice, which I just don't know if we can stop them from doing. It doesn't even have to be human. The sacrifice can be just a goat is enough. So,
right.
Yeah, that's a. We're not stopping that from happening. What else will they need? They'll need for the dagger. The inscription needs to be made with another dagger that has committed a murder.
That is, well, they could just sacrifice the... Yes, they've probably got many of them.
Well, yeah, you can kill two birds with one stone if they kill a person.
And then, okay, right.
And in addition to that, they'll need... it's a special type of gold coin. It's a gold coin minted in specifically another realm of darkness called Valachan. I think, or something like that.
Are they common? I guess they've got one.
They're not especially common, no. It's about yay big, she says. It's a maybe, I don't know, how many inches or milli-inches or whatever the imperial is. But imagine a coin about 10 centimeters in diameter.
Right, so is it...
It's got, she describes it, it's got on one face the head of a zombie, and then on the other face it's got a snarling wolf. And then around the edges, it's got some inscription that Yender probably doesn't know and would not tell you if she did know.
Right. And so the gold coin is used up when they make a knife?
It gets used up.
They need another one.
They aren't especially common. And because of the size, they're easy to spot.
Right. Well, I guess we need to know if they have another one or anything else that they need.
There might be some other things, but I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So when Danica asks, what can she do? I simply ask, how many blacksmiths does this town have?
It has only the one, Dragomir.
I think I know of a way of slowing them down.
You suggest destroying the blacksmithy?
Yes.
Or killing the blacksmith?
I think both would work.
Right. The town without a blacksmith, no horses shooed. It'd probably be fine.
Yeah.
It's probably a worthwhile sacrifice, really.
Danica gives a dark look and says, if it is the lesser of two evils.
Is there a way to...
Gotta pick one.
Is there a way to capture, kidnap the blacksmith?
Perhaps.
In Disposium?
I would... That is beyond our power. We are not a military force, nor are we particularly adept warriors.
This is where you need...
We can find Dragomir for you, but it would be up to you to capture him. We have an established spy network, though we do not have informants in many places.
Do you have... explain the gold coin as well. That is
this
another thing.
This is more doable. We would be able to locate any such coins within town.
If you can locate them, then that will slow them down. I understand that, yes, a town needs a blacksmith.
I know I said we did not have any contacts, but we do have... We have few contacts, informants. One such is among the Vistani outside of town, a trustworthy sort. The Vistani see more coin than anyone else. They would be able to tell me if such a thing happened.
Those things would be useful.
I will track down these coins, and do you want to know where Dragomir is?
It's probably worthwhile.
We will find Dragomir. When you say it is worthwhile, it seems like almost an afterthought. Any action that we do exposes us. And I need you to understand, as much as you know that the Blue Water Inn is one of our
Let us
homes,
say no, then. Let us say no. I do not want to be responsible for having a town without a blacksmith. That will be a last resort if we cannot
find
these gold coins.
Find the contact to find the coins. All right. Val, was there anything else?
No, that is all. Thank you.
I told Pip, but I did not tell you. You may consider this place safe for you. I do not know if this description has been given to you. We are a group known as...
Oh, right, yes. The birds of a feather, a flock of... It was
Unhappily, Danica interrupts you back and says, the Vey of the Feather.
Yes, right, sorry. Yes, Pip mentioned it. There was a group of birds. Where are ravens? Yes.
Da. We are, most of us, were ravens. Right. This place, the Blue Water Inn, is our... one of our bases, if you will. The only one we let known to anyone.
Were-ravens. So do you have... Is it similar to how the werewolves work? Is it like you are bitten by one? Do you have a were-raven god?
I would describe it as less of a affliction and more of a disease. Okay. It works similar to the regular versions of lycanthropy, but we remain... more in control of ourselves.
You have, so the werewolves that we've encountered, they had their, they started worshipping some sort of a deity. Do you have something similar? Or is it...
We worship many deities. There are, if there is a deity for anything. Whether or not the werewolves are speaking to an actual entity, whether they have created an entity through their belief, or whether there was always a lycanthropy deity is not for me to know. Certainly there is no god that we worship, not singular.
Interesting. Right. And it is every raven around here? Is it one of your family?
all ravens are friendly. Well, friendly to our kind. They know us, we know them. So if you see a raven, it will always be a friend. If it is a fair raven, you will not know until they transform.
Okay, yes, I think we probably, I guess we've encountered you before.
Yes, we are, yes you did, she says. She says with a knowing sort of like, yes, you did, you have encountered a were-raven.
Oh, right, so you were circling
Pip's crops, that's right.
We do not specifically target his crops, but if we are hungry has more than he needs.
He likes to think you do. I have another question, sorry. Do the druids eat horses?
Danica seems taken aback by that question. It kind of seems to have come from nowhere for her. She actually, no, the exact opposite. When you say that, Danica gives you a look like she was privy to the conversation that you have had about this previously. And you assume some spy of hers has overheard this. And she says, I would not put it past them.
Vindication!
Oh, that is a shame.
If they have taken one of your horses, I would not be shocked to discover that it had been killed and eaten, either in a ritual or just because they enjoyed the bloodshed.
That is rather morbid.
Speaking of the druids, I would be very aware of them, or try to be very aware of them. They are... not without power, especially within this land, as it is given to them by Strahd through the land. We are at constant odds with the druids. They are part of Strahd's spy network, and they are in competition with our spy network. We try not to clash with them, but they seek fights with us very often. And they are, as I said, part, but not all, of Strahd's spy network. He has eyes and ears everywhere. We do not, even with this place, she says, gesturing around to the inn, we do not tell people about it lightly. This is not our only home, but we have few. This place, the Blue Water Inn, is the only safe place that we feel comfortable letting you know about.
Well, thank you very much.
This comes with a very important proviso. Barovia has been like this for hundreds of years, for longer than any of us have ever been alive. The only creature that has seen the beginning of Barovia and lived to today is Strahd and perhaps a dedicated cadre of his internal allies. No one else has seen the beginning. And of the organizations that were here at the beginning, we are the only one left. We have survived because we have picked our allies very carefully, and we have only informed people of things that they absolutely need to know. This inn must remain secret.
I won't tell anybody about this. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for looking after the dog. Thank you for looking after Jeska. And thank you for looking after us.
She nods. Were it only our lives that were in danger. She returns to the bar.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
You've seen Strahd retaliate. You've seen taking someone's life is not the way Strahd retaliates.
Yep. A case in point to Pip. Yeah.
And I also imagine Danica looks at me when she's like, we pick our allies carefully. Quick glance to Pip. Where's the dog, I say?
At the back playing with the...
I'm going to stand up and I'm...
Brom has returned, by the way. He's continuing to prepare food for tonight.
Might go see what the dog has to say. I'm going to go out the back. And then I'd like to cast Beast Bond on the dog.
I would also get... I have grown very attached to this dog. So I will also say hello, play with a
toy.
Can I
see the card?
Yeah, of course. I have a telepathic conversation with it.
Yeah, you form a telepathic connection with the dog.
Hike up my pants, get down, grab the little beagle's face in my hands. Maybe it's less magical. It's more like I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm vibing with the dog.
Sure.
Yeah.
Look, in the mechanics of the game, this is a spell.
Yeah.
But for the flavor of the game, you are just incredibly attuned. You're a hunter.
Yeah.
You know what animals are thinking.
I get down and I'm like, Oh, what's a question to ask the dog? maybe with like the dog's face in my hand and my like nose almost touching it. I'm like, what would you like me to ask the dog?
You're speaking to the dog. Of course you can.
Sort of, yeah. Kind of.
Well, I guess ask it if it wants anything right now.
Do you want anything, little fella?
Food.
He's hungry.
Bray says, we just fed it.
They just fed you.
Food.
Yeah, he's not having any of that.
Bray gets up, he goes inside, and he comes out with some chicken.
Thank you, Bray.
Thank you.
I feed the dog chicken.
Oh, that's good.
I asked Bray, like, did you three decide on a name?
We have thought about it, and we want to call the dog... He looks around like he's being a little naughty. We want to call the dog... Irwin. Jeska, who seems to be in a lot better cheer right now, Jeska says, Irwin too.
Ask if the dog has a name or if it would prefer to be called Irwin too.
Do you have a name?
No, name, no. The dog seems really upset at the idea.
He's upset by the idea of having a name?
Yeah.
He doesn't want a name. I think he likes dog.
You telepathically get... No. There's some trauma about that.
Okay. I don't think he wants to be named.
Okay. Well,
I mean, you'll work on that. It's a dog.
What do we want to ask him if his owner ever had a gold coin?
Did your owner ever have anything shiny? Did it ever have anything that
you
that
see
shone?
Many, many, many shiny things. The dog gives you many examples of shiny things. A lot of them are coins because as a business, she dealt with a lot of money. It's kind of like a massive, like memories going through your mind. You manage to telepathically, you reach out and you stop this chaotic ride as it, you see a big, about 10 centimeters in diameter coin on one side. You can see that it has the visage of a zombie.
Okay.
And you can see a now alive Tanner. She is standing over it with a dagger in her hands, and the dagger is bathed, basically, in blood.
Mm-hmm.
The sticky, hot blood slowly is drooling down the dagger and drip, 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 falling onto the coin.
Is there only one coin in the memory?
There's only one coin.
Okay, but that means they've used up the coin.
Mm. Presumably, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I can only see one coin, or the dog here only remembers one coin, so...
That is good. Perhaps ask the faces of the people that the Tanner associated with during the
that's not
the
a bad
cult
idea.
Bullshit.
I try to communicate to the dog that I'd like to see some of its previous the people that hung around its owner, its owner's friends, and
you get a flurry of faces. Some of them you recognize already as like Izek is there. Maybe Dragomir and Magda, a lot of other faces, mostly ones that you don't recognize.
And I guess as well a dog's memory.
Yeah.
It is a little bit chaotic. It's probably the dog, without thinking about it, is giving you memories where smell is more important than sight. Mm. So you're like, you've got some faces now, but like none of them.
Nothing massively useful.
No new information,
yeah.
I suppose.
Okay.
I communicate that, yeah. I think that might be all the dog has to tell us.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to think. I'm like, well, we know who kind of took her. Wait, do we know who took her? Perhaps you could ask who, if he saw who took the tanner.
Oh, yeah. All right. Do you know who took your owner, fella?
There's a bit of panic to this memory.
It's all right.
The dog is just vaguely aware. You get the perspective of the dog. They were just in the room, room that you found them when this happened. Mm. So they didn't get a look, unfortunately. But the dog remembers being woken up in the middle of the night, loud noises happening in their owner's room. And they're like really, maybe emotionally, they become overwhelmed. You get the, a dog obviously does not have the capacity to feel emotion in the way that a human has.
Yeah.
So emotionally, they get overwhelmed a lot more easily. And so you feel what it's like to have the emotional capacity of a dog and it is being overwhelmed. Understand. You get it. The dog doesn't like it.
Right. Mm.
But apart from that, you get no information about what happened that night.
I think it was too traumatic for the dog.
Ask what it wants, its favorite food, those kind of things. Things that I can to look after it.
As the sun sets, you learn how to look after this dog. Meanwhile, somewhere far to the north, the sun is similarly, as it is here, setting. As the sun sets over Lake Zarevich, Boris slowly paces out of the forest. It looks as a congregation of people are milling about at the lake's edge. Boris watches intently with several other direst wolves at his back as slowly, one by one, the shimmering field of glass that is the surface of Lake Zarevich begins to bubble upwards and then slowly, laboriously, two massive, dark, wet tendrils extend out of the water, and Boris can hear screaming. A person is being dragged towards the lakefront. They're fighting and struggling. They do not want to be dragged, but they have no choice. There are simply too many people forcing them forwards. A final, smaller tendril reaches forwards to grab this person. It wraps itself around their neck, tightens, and then drags them in. The person screams, and then it stops. The mass begins to slowly sink once again beneath the water. There is no longer a person there, other than the congregation, obviously.
Yeah.
Boris watches, no emotion playing across him, almost as if he's observing a mound of ants doing what they do.
Oh, God.
As the congregation leaves, the sun has completely set by the time that the last of the congregation are gone. Boris gets up and wanders over to the lake's edge. Boris has no interest in dealing with these cultists.
Sure.
While they are ultimately a design of Strahd, he does not consider them in any way his equal. But more so than the druids, he sees them as so far beneath him that there's not even...
He might not even consider them.
Why would he interact with them?
Sure.
As he approaches the lake's edge, that mass begins rising again, and the two tendrils slowly snake their way out of the water. One final tendril reaches out for Boris as if he was another sacrifice or supplicant. Boris growls, and the tendril stops. The wet, watery mass does not know why, but it cannot attack at Boris. Mm-hmm. It is ultimately here on Strahd's orders. The creature does not understand this. It does not know that it's being controlled. It has no awareness beyond a desire to simply exist and then an impulse to either eat or mind control. But somewhere within it, it is bound, shackled by Strahd as a punishment here for Valakai, for those who stood against him. And Boris, as a respected lieutenant of Strahd, is safe from this creature. It will not harm someone such as Boris.
God damn. That fucking wolf.
A fourth, tendril, small, like the third one, reaches out. Boris sits where he is, and as the tendril reaches, it turns and curves, presenting part of it to Boris's mouth. Boris wraps his mouth around it and bites down. The mass is in pain, agony, as a tendril is torn off it, but it does not react, or it does not recoil. It does not try to stop what is happening. It cannot. It doesn't want this, but it can't stop it from happening. Boris tears off a tendril and then slinks off into the forest with it.
Why'd you do that? But why'd he do that, Adam? What is he
doing? What's he going to do with a tendril, man?
You've had your little chat with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
The beast bond spell has ended.
Sure. I guess what time is it?
It's about maybe, at this point, 6.
Okay.
Dinner is being served. You can smell the delicious smells of food wafting in from the kitchen. Brom calls you in, and there's some food for you here.
Cool. I guess we'll go inside and eat.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll eat. I'll call the dog in, and they can eat by my side. And
A few times you...
Some scripts.
In the night, a few times you hear the guards come in, and... Sometimes they're here to do a search, in which case Danica gets you to all of you to hide.
Hide on, yeah.
But sometimes they're here, and you can tell they're just literally causing disturbances. They are vaguely aware that Danica maybe isn't directly hiding you, but they can tell
knows
that Danica knows something that she isn't letting on. So they have begun giving the Blue Water Inn a hard time. You hear them come in, and if they're not searching for you, they start harassing the patrons, and very quickly it becomes a much quieter night than last night.
That sucks. That's sad. That's sad for the Blue Water Inn.
Yeah.
Causing more problems for them.
So... I guess unless you're all doing anything, midnight eventually rolls around.
Yeah, not really. I'll be making an alchemical concoction.
An alchemical mixture?
Yeah.
What would you like to make?
I would like to combine Ectobloom, Hounding Killer Hands, and some Ghoul Guts.
What's your intention?
To make 5 arrows that do fire damage, but that can also affect like ethereal things. That's the
You get it. 5 arrows of fire that will affect an ethereal being.
And then I'd also like to make a juice. By which I mean a potion.
Juice?
Made out of devil's horn, lichen hide, and some agate. Which I know is a rock.
Yes.
But I can crush it up.
I'd allow it, yeah. It's fine.
To give myself magic and regular damage resistance.
Okay. You can tell it's a weak potion, but it will work.
That's fine. And then I'll just slot them into, I assume on my body, I have little potion slots and holes.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
Bandolier, yeah.
Slot it in. But otherwise, that's all I'm doing.
Okay.
I guess go over the spells that I know and try to avoid anything with Radiant. But yeah, that's basically it.
The prayers that you know.
Yes. Sorry.
For you, they would be prayers.
Yes. The prayers that I know. And
sorry, excuse me.
So it was just don't hit him with Radiant. And was there anything that
I would have probably passed around. Yeah, the good book. I would have probably passed it around between everybody so everybody could get a sense of what we're kind of going to come up against. And I think I've explained before, like the plan will be place 10 candles around.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the of even numbers.
Odd numbers of both.
Red and white, black and
red,
white.
Red and white candles. And then we will probably need to wait in hiding, I would imagine.
You also need to know who the current target is.
Yeah, but we're pretty sure.
The target, I would assume, would be Meliov.
Yeah, and...
I guess when we got Yenda to go in, and when Yenda went and informed Claudia that we'd be back later in the evening or at night to also get a description of Miliov or where they would be sleeping, I guess.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
Miliov has his own room. He's one of the older boys get, well, the older kids get their own rooms at the orphanage. The younger ones have to share.
Yeah,
you're not sure why. This is just how it works.
No, that makes sense. It's a privilege. You get older, you get a bigger bed. So, we'll create a sort of magic circle around the bed where the sleeper would be, this Miliov, and we'll light the candles around, evenly spaced, odd number.
We need to do them when they're asleep. They don't know that we're there.
I think the child needs to be asleep, but I think they can know that we're doing this. That's probably good, really.
I was just thinking, because if Cribbit can't be invisible.
Well, I think it's probably worthwhile for us to hide, certainly, around the hag, or at least be in the other room, so that when the hag enters the bedroom, it doesn't immediately see that the jig is up and try and hightail it. So if we can kind of secrete ourselves within the room and then come out, in many ways it's an ambush that we're pulling on this midnight hag. I don't think she'll be expecting five people sort of exploding out of a child's bedroom with intent of doing her harm. Yes,
it is not a common thing, says a go-cat.
Yes, yeah, true. And then we will have 1 minute, mm-hmm. as every 5 seconds a candle is snuffed out, to eliminate the midnight hag. After which it just might be difficult to capture her again. She just might realize what we're doing. Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'll follow your lead.
All right. It's come close to midnight. Are we heading to the orphanage now?
Yeah. Yender, I believe, went ahead and is meets you out the front. You can see she and Claudia are out the front. They usher you inside and...
I exchange a glance with Claudia, I suppose, given we have quite an intense shared history.
No, Claudia refuses to look at you.
Okay. That's a shame.
Claudia makes every effort not to acknowledge that you are here.
That's cool. Maybe I'm even trying to catch her eye. No,
she refuses.
Yeah.
You make your way up the stairs and you can hear the sounds of many. Well, actually, no, they wouldn't be quietly sleeping. You can hear the sounds of children not quietly sleeping and needing to be shushed and absolutely acting up. Maybe, you know, highs or lows?
Highs.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. All right.
So
uh-oh.
As you hit the stairs to go up, out of one of the other side rooms, a door explodes open. Mm-hmm. And you see through the door into one of the common rooms where a bunch of kids are all bunked together. One of the kids steps out, looks at the group and says, "What the hell are you all doing here?"
I want to pick up the kid and just put it back in its room. TikTok. And keep walking up the stairs.
You're able to physically force the kid back into the room. He keeps yelling and making a commotion. You close the door. Claudia still refuses to acknowledge Pip. But Hector, you hear her, I didn't do the... She makes a tutting sound. She does not like that Pip did that.
We're on a time limit here.
I am out of my depth. I don't really know what's going on. Yep, whatever.
I just love the idea of Pip fighting any other hag back in his regular life and just being like, "Get out of here, kids." Kids clamber over his body.
Eating the fucking swinging kids
I'm
around.
I'm trying to save you, you animals.
Pillow fighting them.
Yeah.
Maybe mouthing to Claudia like, "I'm sorry."
Claudia looks at you and you feel like you've been told off.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's bad.
It's just a look. You feel you've been taken back to as a child when you disappointed a parent.
Mm-hmm. It's like getting wrapped over the knuckles by the brothers at the church.
You get up to the second story and you are led down to one of the doors where Claudia very quietly, she turns around and maybe she doesn't. So this is the first time she's technically acknowledging you, Pip, in that she's acknowledging the entire party. Mm-hmm. She turns around and she puts just a finger to her lips to shush you. She opens the door and carefully checks to make sure that Miliov is asleep.
Mm-hmm.
When she confirms that Miliov is asleep, she pushes the door open and lets everyone in.
All right.
You all make a very important stealth check.
Yes.
I know I'm going to, I was about to be so cocky. I was like, I know I'm going to nail it because I'm a very quiet, stealthy
There's
boy.
There's nothing better than fucking this one up.
Oh, damn.
All right, you didn't roll well, but you got some natural skill.
Yeah.
All right, once again.
I forgot we got fucking a Gogash and Hector, who are 8 foot tall.
Mm. Hector, a Gogash is probably among the best in the party.
Classic.
Yeah.
Actually, you do better. Yeah. Wow.
Thank God.
Yeah. I'm currently not wearing heavy, cumbersome armor. So that's true. You know, isn't...
It's just not a disadvantage.
You
are sort of a big purple galoot, though.
You have brought Cribbit, right?
Yeah.
Highs or lows?
Oh, my God.
Cribbit.
As Cribbit enters, that makes my job easier. I don't need to roll for anyone else. As Cribbit enters the room, he begins playing a song.
Pip just looking at him like, "Oh, I'm fine. What are you doing?"
And then
put my hand over all the wires on his.
I put my hand over his. I'm helping.
Shut up.